Hey there, Patriots! Here we are again. We are doing more of our study guide for end times and a thousand years of peace. Hey, Debbie, Tammy, and Tess, I'm so glad you have joined with me. We're missing a couple of our ladies, but we're just going to keep moving on because we started crunching the numbers. We realized it was going to be a year if we didn't kind of start picking up the pace. So we want to get this done. So this is out there and ready for you guys to know what the truth is about end times, right, girls?
Right.
Yes.
And so today we're talking about the two witnesses. This is a very complicated passage and it's going to take a minute. So we're going to try to go quickly, but we want to make sure that we cover all the bases. So let's go. Who's ready?
Ready.
Let's do it. Let's go. Let's go. All right, here we go. Here is the study guide we're working on. This is study guide number 14, and this is from Revelation chapter 11. This is in the book End Times. Who has their book with them? End Times and a Thousand Years of Peace. This is chapter 12 in the book. And so here we go. There's a lot of symbolism. There's a lot of symbolism throughout Revelation, and especially in this chapter. So I really encourage you to, really try to think about what the symbolism means. And you can always make sure to read the chapter before you start the study. Anyway, so we're just gonna go through it. But before we do, I'll go ahead and tell you the end from the beginning. I very, very much believe this is the government institutions and the religious institutions, basically the church and the state. And I'm telling you that now because as we go through, it's gonna, then it'll, I think it'll make more sense. Okay. And more than likely, you've already read the chapter, so you already have studied that. But I just feel like it would be helpful, not to be a spoiler, but this is what it, I think it'll really help you guys to know that piece of the puzzle. So let's go. We're gonna ask you some questions. And I'm thinking you girls have already done your homework, so hope you're ready to answer some of these questions. So, but you don't worry if you don't have answers to all of them. It's okay. This is intentionally complex, and we talked about this the other day that the Lord told Daniel to shut these seal up this vision, and he wouldn't reveal it to the end. And so that's where we are. We're at the end of the criminal cabal running the world. So this is why has been very complicated, and but the Lord is helping us to piece it together because it's time for us to know. Okay. I don't want to spoil the fun though of you guys working out this puzzle. All right. So Debbie, could you please read Revelation 11, chapter 11, verse 1 and 2?
Yes, and I want to thank you, Melissa, for pushing us through to get this and not just telling us what to believe, but actually unfolding this, unpacking it so that we can work together and we can accept this as our own truth and our own understanding. So 11:1, and there was given me a reed like a rod, and the angel stood saying, "Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months."
All right, we're reading out of the King James because that is what I'm using for the book. That is something that is not copywritten. So if it sounds a little bit Shakespearean, that's why. So what was John told to measure, everybody? What was he told to measure?
The temple and the
The
altar.
temple. Okay, but it's not about dimensions, right? It's
Right.
not about square footage, right? It's not about that. What is the purpose of the measuring since it's not about dimensions? Somebody.
Well, and also the worshipers, these people that
Yes.
are awake and
Yes.
are living in this temple of God, this altar, who are worshiping there, the people that are with us, that are awake and understanding that these are end times, these are things that God has intended for this time.
Yes. Yes. So, and I think that 40 and 2 months is such a very interesting symbolism. And for those of you who read the book, you'll remember that 42 months is the same as 1260 days, which is the same as 3.5 years. So anyway, this is also the same as time times and half a time. So it's like, what is this? It's also the period of Jupiter doing their entire the loop. Okay, so what is this saying? It's a period of striving. It's a period of like when you're in labor pains to birth something. So that's what you always think of is like, what is, why are we being tread upon for 42 months? It's not about an exact number of months. It's about a period of time that we're striving, and you're like, everybody who's had a baby knows that it feels like forever. Whether you go quickly of having a baby or if you take a long, long time like I do, it feels like forever. And it feels like we are under this beast system forever. Can I get an amen? Right? Feels
Amen.
like that. It really has. So we're trying to measure the temple to see what is the condition of this, of the church. Right? There's a verse that comes to mind. Is can anybody think of the verse I'm thinking of that talks about where, he says to measure the God's house. What is that verse? There's, it says, to judgment begins in the house of God.
Right.
And want to see if what condition is the is God's house in the present time? What were you thinking, Tammy?
Oh, I was going to say the word that I keep having in my mind is judging, and I don't know if it's the real word I want, but it's the people that are already in there, we're testing our strength, judging where we are in our walk.
Well, and it's also, it's not, I don't even think it's just believers, but what condition is the church in right now? What condition is it in?
Some terrible.
Right. It's And so it's a lot of show and not maybe a lot of fruit. And it's the evidence of that. You might be like, you're so mean, Melissa. Why would you say that? Well, because look at the world. If the church was doing its job being effective, that the world wouldn't be in the condition that it's in. Okay. So it's just it's as simple as that.
Okay,
So but he's
assessing then.
yes,
Assessing.
assessing. Right. We're
I
judging.
was trying to find the word.
That's it. Well, yeah, but I think judging is, but yeah, I think assessing is probably it's clearer. All right, so and he was supposed to leave out what portion?
The
Not
outer court.
the outer court and not where the Gentiles were, because they were supposed to treading on the holy city. Okay, so I don't know that. It doesn't say, I don't think it means that the Gentiles were the ones who are treading. I think that the Gentiles are those who are maybe not, they don't know God's word. They're not, as Paul says in Romans chapter 2, says the Gentiles some are doing sometimes from the heart what is pleasing to God. The Lord is, sees the what from the what they're doing from the heart. I think the problem that is his issue is with those who are literally fighting to keep the truth out of the church, who have infiltrated the church for evil purposes and infiltrated the government for evil purposes.
Right.
So anyway, so but he wants to leave out, what does it say? It says, judgment begins in the house of God, and not to judge the Gentiles, really, those who don't know the word of God, because they're not even in the game. The people who aren't walking with God, they're not responsible for this. We are, since we're believers, since we love the Lord and say we're professing to love him and walk with him, we're the ones who are responsible. He's wanting to see, okay, you guys say you love me, and what's the condition of the church? I think that's really what he's trying to say is and get John to consider, what's the condition? And so that's really answers number four also. So what does it mean the holy city would be tread underfoot? Tread underfoot. Anybody have an idea what that could be? We kind of talked about it.
Well, it's beaten down. It's just, you sit down, you shut up, you don't make any comments, you don't, think outside the tradition of the what we've always been taught
Right.
in the last 50, 60 years,
Like it or not.
you like it or not, yeah, it
Right.
well.
And also, I think that there's a big part of it is we know that the church has been infiltrated, right? The church has been
Right.
infiltrated. We know that there are people who are, maybe in these positions of authority in the church who are not free to say what they want to say or do what they want to do. And so the church is being, and not just the church, but all the religious institutions are highly controlled. And so I
Yeah.
think that I feel like the people, the probably, I'm th sure there are many Muslims who feel the same way, that they're, their religious institution has been hijacked. The Hindus probably feel the same way, and the Buddhists feel the same way, and everybody feels like, we're not fulfilling our mission here. And it's because, just like our government has been overtaken, the same thing has happened to the church, to the religious institutions. Okay. And so they're not able to fulfill the job. What was it? Who are we talking about? Oh, I know what it was. I was listening to Ken Paxton today, and he was talking about how he's trying so hard to get the FBI and the DOJ to do the right thing, and it's impossible because it's completely infiltrated and controlled. And even though he's in a position of authority, he can't get them to do right, And they care nothing about the rule of law. Look at what's happening to President Trump right now, guys. If you're listening to this over a year from now, this is May 29th, 2024, and we're seeing that President Trump has been railroaded on this trumped-up trial, and the whole thing is just, every rule has been tossed, right? That's what it is to be tread underfoot, with in the government and in the religious institutions, because they're so important for this very thing that we're just about to come to. So we, as we talked about, but 42 months. Or days. I need to actually fix that. In some places it's 42 days. Sometimes it says 42 months. What does that usually signify in prophetic language? I kind of went over that earlier.
What, 3.5 years or time, half a time?
Yes. And what does it what is happening during that period of time? Remember, I was talking about the travailing.
Gestation.
What say it again, Tammy?
Gestation period where the
There,
doing.
yes. And I think of this, just this striving, it's just like, come on, we want to get this, birthing this kingdom, and we want, and it's a struggle.
I have a question.
Spirit of
Would
struggle,
this
yes.
mean the first part of a tribulation?
So I think that it is a tribulation. It is all of it is tribulation. When you're trodden underfoot, that's tribulation. So yeah. So if we've I my school of thought is that we've been under tribulation for many, 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 many years, longer, much, much longer than we could even imagine. It's I don't know that when we haven't. It has dialed up in the past, a few years. So let's say, Tess, would you please read for us this portion in question number six? I'm gonna make it a little bit bigger so you can actually see it, if I can. Okay.
Hold on, let me move us out of the way there.
All right. How about that? Are we
That's perfect.
quiet? Is that okay?
Nope, that's good. And I will give you power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemy. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These are the powers to shut heaven, that it not rain, oh, sorry, that it rain not in the days of the prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all the plagues as often as they will.
Very good. Thank you. So in the very first one, 11 verse 3, we already see it says that they'll prophesy 1,203 score days. That's 1,260 days, which is the same as the 42 months. Okay. So it's that same number said in various ways keeps coming up over and over and over. So they're going to be prophesying under this duress, under this struggle, this time of struggle, and they're trying to get the job done. For all of our lives, we've said, well, we need to go vote. We need to go, call our congressmen. We need to go do all these things. And it's just like, we're getting nowhere, right? So now, verse four, these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks that stand before the God of the earth. So let's go down to the next question here. Let me back up. What are they wearing in verse three? What are the two witnesses wearing?
They're in sackcloth and they're in mourning.
Yes,
Morning.
that's right. Yep. Because they can't seem to get the job done that God has called us to do. And we've all felt that way forever, right? So, but the
So
Lord.
number seven says, who are the two witnesses? And you want.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed that question. Thank you so much. Yeah.
So the church
Yes.
and the state.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The church and the state. Now, the traditional thinking is that this is Elijah and Moses.
Okay. Well, okay. True. And true. Okay. So, and thank you for not letting me skip over question number seven because that's an important one to not miss. All right. So, right. Like, who are these people? So, very good. Yes, that is the traditional teaching. And so, it's because what's going to come up in verse six is really describing them. And so, they're saying that this is, they're going to basically rise from the dead. Is that what, that's their traditional teaching. And again, I go back to symbolism. Symbolism, symbolism, you know, and so that's where, you know, when they talk about Jesus having a sword coming out of his mouth, they don't really physically always talk, you know, think that he's got a sword physically coming out of his mouth, right? So it's how, you know, some things they say are symbolism and others they choose, pick and choose. But anyway, so in one sense, yes, they are Elijah and Moses. We're going to get to that here in just a second. So who does, but while we're here, and since you brought it up, Deb, who does Elijah represent?
Right, exactly. Because he was the priest,
Yeah,
wasn't
he was a
he?
prophet.
A prophet.
Prophet. Yes, prophet. Yep. So he represents the religious institutions,
Right.
the church. And I use that term church loosely. It could be, you know, Islam or Hindu or Buddhist or whatever religious institution that's supposed to rein in the society. Supposed to bring it into righteousness. Okay. The religious institutions are supposed to bring righteousness in that culture.
And draw us closer to holiness with God.
Yes. So, and then the other one, you said Moses. So who does, what does he represent?
He was government. He was the
Yeah.
state. He
The
was
law.
the law, exactly.
Right. The Ten Commandments. Yep. Exactly. So that's exactly, you know, what it is, but it's not those two individuals. It's symbolism. Same thing with the Antichrist. We're going to get to the study about the Antichrist. The Antichrist is not about an individual. It's about who it represents symbolically, this group that is does anti-God things. Anyway, so yeah, so here we've got these two people that represent the church and the state. Thank you so much, Deb, for letting me not pass that by. All right, so verse back to number eight, Revelation 11, 4 tells us the witnesses are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks. Clearly symbolic. Okay, you're not going to see, you know, a wick coming out of Moses's head and the whatever branches on Mo and Elijah. I mean, come on now. So what are olive trees used for?
Yelling.
Yes. Expand on that, Tammy. Expand on.
I am more of making things better and
Yes.
I mean, my words are not connecting well today, but
Okay.
it's in my head. It's,
Right.
that's more where we go to regain our strength, to ask for, to be become where we're stressed out or things are happening. We go to the church, we go to the Lord and say, I give it to you.
Right.
Please take care of me.
Amen.
So
Well, like olive oil,
yeah.
like olive oil is a healing oil, and we're, you know, I'm not using any of those other kinds of oils, those combination oils and those seed oils and those things, because we now know they cause inflammation and they cause a lot of trouble. But olive oil is very healing, and that represents the healing of the Word of God is trying to heal us.
Right.
From all iniquity.
Exactly. And so here's Psalm 52:8. Tammy, would you read that one for me? Psalm 52:8.
Okay.
It's right there on number nine.
Okay. I am like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God.
And then Psalm
People
104:15.
going wine to make them glad, olive oil to soothe their skin, and bread to give them strength.
Yes. Right. And I've also recently found that olive oil is basically your brain is in oil. And so when you have olive oil, it helps the brain to send signals properly. A lot of our people have depression, anxiety, even bipolar and mental disorders, nerve disorders, nervous disorders, because they don't have the proper oils in their body, and they're getting the wrong signals. And so this is just, olive oil is, it's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful healing thing to flourish. I think that word flourish really is what it's talking about. The church is supposed to be causing the world to flourish. Amen. And then the candlesticks, of course, that's an easy one.
To light our way, to illuminate our path, to keep us on the right.
Yes, right, exactly. Yeah, candlesticks just to light all the, yeah. Years ago, we went camping, and we didn't realize, it was getting later, and we didn't realize we didn't have a flashlight, and we went into the where it was too many trees. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face. The only choice was to get, feel your bedding, whatever, and roll it out and lay down right there. That was all there was to it. I mean, because you don't have light, you're toast. So yeah, that's just what the church and the state are supposed to do for the world. So it's these and just restating that verse, question number 11, specifically, what roles are these witnesses to perform on earth?
Healing
And lighting the way.
Supposed to do that. And do you think the 1260 days time frame is literal or symbolic?
Think it's symbolic.
Symbolic.
No doubt. It's symbolic. And so a lot of the teaching about Revelation gets way off into, oh, what is this 1260 days going to be? And oh, I think we're in the 1260 days or whatever. They get into this weeds when it's symbolic. He's talking about it's a period of striving, that we're striving against, all these forces, and we're not able to complete the task. I mean, this makes perfectly good sense to me. So verse five, I think it's gonna, that's the next one. Okay, let me see. I think I didn't ask a question about the next one. Oh, okay, maybe I did. Hang on, let me see if I can find it. Maybe not. Maybe where's it? Okay. Okay, here it is. Verse, I got them out of order. I need to resort the order. But verse, question number 17, what powers do these institutions have? And in what ways can they exercise these powers? Coming from verse five, what is it that they can do? It says that fire proceeds out of their mouths. Wow. It's scary. What can they do? They devour
Destroy
their.
and kill. Yeah.
Say it, Tammy.
Oh, destroy and kill anyone who comes against them.
Right.
Is that?
How does the government do that?
Oh, many ways. Talk about this lawsuit today that we're waiting to hear about.
Lies, injustice.
Right. But
What's another thing?
they're
They're
supposed
supposed
to
to be.
be leading us. They're supposed to be in the perfect world. They should be lighting. They should be sharing truth. They should be standing up for the weak and the hurt, and
Exactly.
leading everyone to have what they need. And
Right.
But they're the absolute opposite.
Right. But so here, but if any man hurt the church and the state, if anyone comes against the church and the state, as Paul said in, I think it's Romans 13, it says, to obey the government authorities. He did say that. He says, if you don't, they don't bear the sword in vain, as Paul said, right? He says, fire proceeds out of their mouths and will devour you. Your goose is cooked if you come against the government, right? You're done. And so the same thing, the church has had the ability to, remove people from the church, and it talks about that in the Word of God also. And it should be a fearful thing. You don't want to be put out of the church. But unfortunately, if the church is not doing its job, whatever. But the bottom line is, this is the powers that they have. The church and the state have the power to punish sin. That's their job. And so I think that's really what it's pointing to in verse five, is not what they failed to do, but that, what they're intended to do is to bring righteousness in the earth, under penalty of you'll go be thrown in the slammer. All
But
right.
like the Constitution talks about how the church, I mean the state, is there to protect us. They're not there to to give us stuff.
Right.
They're to make sure that the rule of law is upheld, that truth is upheld. We have fire protection and police protection and protection. They're not meant to rule over us and hand us out food to eat.
Right.
That's not the purpose.
Right.
Not to control us.
Right.
But
so the fire proceeding out of their mouths is about meeting out justice when necessary. All right, so question number 13. So let's go back to this first witness here. It says, who in the Bible was given power to shut up heaven so it wouldn't rain? Just like it says in verse 6. Elijah did that. And it didn't rain during the day of his prophecy, right? And that's
am I thinking this right? He was wanting King Ahab to wake up and not worship these idols and do these bad things. And so he was trying to get Ahab's attention. And so he said, Lord God, he's prayed to God, shut up the heavens and not let it rain so that this man will come to understand that you were in power and you were in glory.
Right. And stop this evil. Yes.
And stop this evil. Wake up and stop this evil.
Right. Mm-hmm. So exactly. So they had the power to do this. Elijah had the power to do that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, yes. Yeah, so he represents the prophets, which represents the religious institutions. Very good. So that's kind of where you were coming from, Debbie. They said, this is Moses and Elijah. Well, the next one, I already said it, but who had the power to turn the water to blood?
Moses,
right. And to smite the earth with all plagues. So it's Moses, right? So he had the power to do that. So he's representing the law. So I had written down a clue from James 5, 17 through 18. Did anybody pull that up?
I had that.
I forgot what that is. I think it was that Elijah was a man like as we are, but he was able to shut the heaven so it wouldn't rain during the time of prophesying.
And then he prayed again.
Elijah was a human.
And the land produced its fruit.
Yes. So, yes.
Yeah.
Right.
But when you go over to James, or First Kings, I think that's where that story of Elijah is in First Kings. It was talking about Ahab and what happened.
Okay. There. Okay. Good. Thank you. First Kings. Well, did you have something, Tess, that you were wanting to shout out?
I was just reading through the James 5, verse 17 and 18.
Yes.
And notice it does say Elijah was a human as we are.
Yes.
Yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. There's that date again.
There you go. Thank you. There's that number. There's that number. There you go. I love that. Exactly. And it's this is not coincidence, is it?
Right.
All right. Awesome. Yeah. And I don't remember why I put Exodus 4:9 in there. I'll have to go back and look at that. I don't know. Exodus 4:9. I don't remember why I put that on there. It shall come to pass that if they did not believe these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, they shall take the water of the river and pour it under the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. So, all right. So anyway, so we know who these represent. And it's symbolic of the church and the state. So that's really the whole point of what we've been trying to accomplish thus far in this study. Clearly Moses represents the state. What power do these institutions have? We just talked about that. They can bring down judgment if necessary. Recently, have these institutions fulfilled their role in causing God's people to thrive and to have the light to guide them? And the answer is clearly no.
No.
All right. So I think, Tammy, it's your turn to read.
Okay.
All right, let's go.
Sure. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth.
Very good. Thank you. Very good. So what does it mean that the two witnesses finished their testimony? Up in verse 7, it says they finished their testimony. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
No. Their influence had ceased because they had been so oppressed. It was,
yeah.
I'm thinking it was God's timing. And he said, all right, that's enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's time. It's time that
they finished. You know, but they finished their testimony. And this is what's been so hard, is that it's hard to stand up when, you know, like I was listening again. I'm so proud of Ken Paxton, our attorney general here in Texas. He's trying to stand up against the powers that be. And he was talking about today that they're coming right against him.
Mm-hmm.
They'll come and bring the powers of the government against him, using it for evil. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard to keep standing up against these forces. So, and when they finish their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Now, it's not about, quote, killing King Paxton or anyone else. It's not about that, but it's about basically making them ineffective.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They don't really have to kill us. They just want to make us ineffective. This is why they've censored us, right?
They just want to shut us up.
They do. And they have not been successful. They've, you know, they've done a lot. They've tried, but thankfully we've had enough people that they've not been able to accomplish that effectively. So I'll read question 20. Or Tess, would you read question 20 for us?
Mm-hmm. The beast came up from the pit to make war against these two witnesses. Only after they had completed their testimony, the beast killed them. Revelations 11:8 says their bodies lie dead in Sodom and Egypt. What two significant sins were these locations known for? Of course, our Lord Jesus' precious blood even pays for their sin, these sins, for those who repent. Revelations 11:8.
Thank you. Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. So, which are the two sins? Let's just talk about Sodom. What sin is Sodom known for?
Sexual perversion.
Sexual. Yeah, perversion.
Yep. Right. Right. So that's the first one. And then what's the sin of Egypt?
Tyranny.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oppression, unjustness.
So what's the New World Order known for? I think I'm seeing what a coincidence. That's what it's talking about.
And child trafficking, slavery, oppression, control, all of that.
Right. So basically the same sins of Sodom and Egypt are the sins of the New World Order, because they know it works.
Yep.
When you get people on video having done such evil things, you know, then you can easily control them. And you can also, you know, they need to have this tyranny to run the world so they can escape from their crimes, right? So that's what it's talking about in verse 8. They don't have physical dead bodies in the street. It's they become ineffective. And where are they lying dead? In this place that is filled with the same sins as Sodom and Egypt, the sexual perversion and the tyranny, which is the New World Order has killed them. Okay. Quote, air quotes, killed them. Okay.
Yeah.
But where our Lord was crucified, you know, our Lord Jesus, he says, come out from among them. And so that you won't bear this punishment. They could still repent before the trap snaps shut. They can still mm-hmm. repent. Now, I will say there's another thing in First John chapter 4. It says, if those who have sinned the sin unto death, he says, don't even pray for such as these, because these people have literally taken in demons. If once they've done that, that's the sin unto death. That's the unpardonable sin, to take in demons. Okay, that's another thing. But the point is, if someone has gotten involved with these people, they can turn state's evidence and they can repent. And the Lord's blood would cover that sin. It can even cover any of these things. The blood of Christ can cover all these things, but someone has to repent, right? But anyways, right. I think that's the whole point of verse 8. The reason we're talking or going into this verse 8 is because I want you to understand what is he saying in verse 8, is that these are the sins of the New World Order. are the same ones as Sodom and Egypt. So that's, so, you know, if let's say, let's just say, if we had the foresight to be able to read this and to piece this together, and you're like, well, I wonder, there's going to be a group that comes and takes over, and they're going to, this is talking about the sins of, what types of sins will they be involved in? We'll know, we would know, because we know the history of what happened in Sodom and what happened in Egypt, right? So that's right. What that's about. All right. And then, as you said, in verse 9, why were they not buried, quote, air quotes, buried, verse 9? Anybody got an idea? I'm sorry.
They're not human. They're not human. These are the church and the state. These are, right. these are things that we saw was really terrible for a while, and we're looking at it.
Right. So you can't bury institutions. But, I mean, they could have torn down all the government, literally taken down out the buildings. And they could have taken down all the church buildings in the...
I think they enjoy the fact that it keeps on going, even though it's controlled and not being used properly. I think that it keeps people asleep. It keeps people from realizing what's really happening, because school's still going on, government's still going on. But what they don't understand is it's not fulfilling the purposes that God has intended.
Exactly. The point of the two witnesses. The point of the two witnesses. Exactly. So exactly. And so if those had been taken down, if there wasn't government and religious institutions everywhere and all these things, people would have awakened, right? It would have caused people to wake up. So, and they're, yeah. So they won't let them, you know, no, we've got to keep all this going. Just keep it, just continue this merry-go-round, this show. All right. So that was question number 22. And so it says the earth dwellers celebrated. Question number 23. Those that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them. Who is this? Who are earth dwellers? And y'all, have y'all thought about that? I'm putting you on the spot.
I'm wondering if they're demons or demon worshipers.
Yes. Definitely. Yeah. Because we dwell in heavenly places, right? This is what it says in the Bible, that we dwell in heavenly places in Christ. You know, we dwell with Him. We are heavenly people, right? Because we love the Lord and we have the spirit of the Lord in us. They have the spirit of demons within them. So that's why they are earth dwellers, or dwelling on the earth. And they rejoice and make merry. They send gifts because the two prophets tormented them. The earth, they tormented the earth dwellers. They're celebrating. Why are they celebrating? Why are they saying that they were tormented?
They think they won.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
They're doing things that they're making what's up, down, and down, up, what we think should be right, wrong. They're making it trying to normalize. Right. The craziness.
Oh my.
Yep. This is what they think that they've been able to defeat us. Mm-hmm. And they're so excited because they have controlled the church and the state. They controlled the religious institutions. And
well, they really have defeated us because we've sat down. We have stopped trying. I try to talk to somebody about something and they shut me down and I go, okay, all right. You know, I can't seem to win the argument because they have all these different things that they say that they're reasoning.
It's hard. It is hard. And it's frustrating. Mm. It is. Because that brainwashing is real. That brainwashing
is real.
Real. So, you know, and so I guess the thing is we just keep trying wherever we can. But they are rejoicing because they think that they got us where they want us, and that they think it's funny. They do laugh behind their, you know, they're laughing at what they're doing to Trump because they think that they have him, and they just don't realize that it's just about end times for them.
But God.
Well, I think too, you know, I feel like as believers, they've gotten us to, like you said, sit down and shut up. Like we're not bold like we should be. You know, we see, I think we're in this mess because so many of us have just sat by idly by and just let it happen. And they're rejoicing. They're like, yeah, they're weak. We're winning.
Good point. That's a good
but
point.
We're fixing to get some real boldness coming up.
That's right. Well, and just let's just continually ask the Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I will, I'm at your service. Tell me what you want me to do. And and he'll give us that boldness. And, you know, I'm not trying to tell anyone to do anything that the Lord doesn't want them to do. But follow him, right? Follow him. That's my encouragement to anyone and everyone. So, but it says that these two prophets, let me see if I can get to that one. Okay, we've already talked about that they're dead symbolically, again, to this period of this striving. They're symbolically dead for 3.5 days. Again, the same type of symbolism that's just like, oh my goodness, I can't believe we're in this situation. And we're just like, how do we ever get out of this deal? This striving, this birthing, how will we birth this baby? How had the two witnesses tormented those who dwelt on the earth, these demon worshipers? How had they been tormented by the two witnesses?
Because they were hearing truth and right and godly principles, and they didn't want to hear it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And worse than that, they were being thrown in prison for crimes. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, the other thing here, it is for those of you who are watching, is May 29th, just here 2 days ago. Was it yesterday? Gosh, the days are going so fast. Robert De Niro went out, and, I guess it was yesterday, made such a fool out of himself because he, you know, has been brought up, you know, on questioning on some very, very serious issues before, and he clearly, something's up with him because he clearly is afraid that of being brought to justice. And there mm-hmm. are those who've been brought to justice before, and they don't necessarily, yeah, they don't like a tongue lashing, but what they don't want is to be thrown into Gitmo.
Mm-hmm.
Or worse.
And there are a lot of them.
Thank you. Or worse, there are people who are going to be in Gitmo. And a lot worse.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what they can't, you know, this is what they're so afraid of on Trump. They realize that President Trump is going to hold them accountable for their crimes against children and humanity. Mm-hmm. So this is what they've been tormented by law and order, basically.
I was cracking up at him saying, what was it he said? He's a dictator, and if he gets in, he'll never ever leave. I was like, oh my God, what ridiculousness. Oh, so stupid.
Like, yay. Everybody's like, yay.
I know. My husband said, king, king.
Right. Forever. Forever. All right. So here's my favorite verse in the entire book of Revelation.
I'll have it here. Okay. Here it is. Do it. I do have it. Yeah.
Here we go. Here it is. In my God breathed life into them. I can't hold this up like it should be. God breathed life into them and they stood up.
Yes.
God breathed life into them and they stood up after 3.5 days. Woo-hoo! After 3 days and a half, again with this symbolism, the Spirit mm-hmm. of God entered them. That's the only way that this has happened is because of the Spirit of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. We were pleasantly, happily asleep. We just didn't understand, except the Lord spoke and woke us up. Just amazing. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. We stood on our feet and fear fell on all which saw them. Or somebody shouted out in their own words what that means to them and what happened. Mm. Tammy, go ahead.
Oh, I've just.
I thought you were going to say this.
I was just saying the great awakening, and we're hearing.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing all over the world. People are saying the same thing. And because it's from the Lord, it's because from the Spirit of the Lord enters us. It's amazing. Only the Lord could do that. Go ahead, Deb.
And we have felt so powerless and so impotent. We just have felt like we couldn't do anything or get anywhere because of this terrible oppression and struggle. But the Spirit of God is going to make us all alive again with understanding, and he's going to breathe life into us where people are going to be able to receive the truth.
Right.
It's a very exciting time.
It is.
Yes, I love. Oh,
go ahead, go ahead. Go, Tammy.
I was going to say, I love it every time I see one of those short little videos of somebody who said, I was not going to vote for Trump, but now I'm at the point where I can't not vote for him.
Right.
And, you know, so something clicked finally.
Yes.
Yeah, they had Robert De Niro on Biden's side, but then I saw a video of Dennis Quaid saying, no, I'm voting for Trump.
I posted that. You saw it on my channel. That's why.
Yeah, that's right. I was like,
Freedom
yes.
Not live. Yeah.
And he's a way better actor than De Niro.
Oh, yeah. He's the real gangster is De Niro. And also, you just so you know, De Niro means money, right? And also means Little Caesar, the Caesar. Nero. Anyway, Bannon was saying that people will be talking about this for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
Right now. And some people are completely missing it. But they'll, you know, once we get through this, but the Lord has a reason for just waking up the few at this point. Okay. There's gonna be a great harvest, a great awakening of everyone. But at this point, he's just had a few of us so that we could be in this battle, in the Battle of Armageddon. He has chosen warriors for this battle. That's how we stood up on our feet. Because the Spirit of the Lord fell upon, entered us, and great fear fell on who? Who's in great fear, you guys?
The New
the
World
enemy.
War?
Yay. Yay. All right. And then let's see. Question number. Okay. I guess the next one is, and take a minute. And did anybody read Ezekiel 37 and Joel 2 to compare that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anybody have any thoughts on that?
The bones.
The dry bones.
Dry bones come to life.
Yep, foot bone connected to the ankle bone connected to the leg bone. Remember that when they heard the word of the Lord and they came back together, and he says they stood on their feet, a mighty army. That's in Ezekiel 37. You guys go read it. I've actually got videos of that on my channel, freedomforce.live. And also Joel 2. That's about this great army. Nothing is ever going to
pour out his spirit on us. He's going to pour it out
and receive
it.
Amen. And he has, and he is every day. I mean, that's the only way we can understand the revelation. That's the only way we can understand anything that's going on, you know, is because of him pouring out his spirit on us. So Joel 2, it says that nothing has ever been seen like it or will ever be seen again. And it's like dawn coming across the mountain. And that's why in my book, if you see, I put dawn coming across the mountain. Right there, because this is the great army. It is the dawning of this beautiful day that we're embarking upon. So yeah, it's definitely that's a picture of what those two chapters, Ezekiel 37 and Joel 2, are exactly what happened to us in Revelation 11:11. If you guys haven't read my book, the one about this is biblical, I talk about all these Bible stories. I don't have it right here. Maybe I do. I'm going to knock this whole thing off if I don't watch out. The whole thing's going to come tumbling down. But this is the one, 17 Bible stories happening before our eyes. I talk about Ezekiel. This is happening before our eyes. And it's an amazing time to be alive. These Bible stories were a roadmap for us. Who knew? I didn't have any idea about that. All right. So question 31, it says in Revelation 11:12, something about God is raising these people up in these high places. Let's see what it says. They heard a voice from heaven saying, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. A lot of people think, what do they think that this verse is talking about? I can't hear you, Tammy. I'm sorry,
rapture.
You're at your lips. I knew that's what you're saying. Yeah, they think this is rapture. They think that we're leaving. We're not leaving. It is symbolism. What is he saying? What are they doing? What is the Lord raising us up to do?
We're going to be the authority, people in positions of power. We're going to once again rule and
reign with
peace and everlasting love, life,
and truth, and love.
And in the church and the state in the way it was intended. Praise the Lord, right? Imagine people in all these positions doing things right, building things right, clean water, but the banking system run properly, the government run properly, the courts run properly. I mean, on and on and on. The Hollywood where you can have good entertainment instead of all this evil stuff. I mean, just, yeah. And the enemies just, they can't do anything. All they do is they beheld them. They're like, we can't stop it. They clearly can't stop it.
You know, they've been in infiltrating and controlling for hundreds of years, the evil. And so now it's our turn.
Yes.
And they're the ones that's going to be oppressed and pushed right. down. And we are going to be the ones succeeding Amen. In making, you know, the world what God meant it to be like.
Amen. Amen. And that we weren't able to stop them. All we could do is sit back and watch. And
right.
they can't stop it. And they're just, all they can do is sit back and watch. Yeah, so I think that's what De Niro's so crazy about. He's
terrified. I'm telling you, some of these people are, I hear some of the things they say, and I'm like, you are terrified. I mean,
as
like, you are not sleeping at night. I can guarantee y'all are not sleeping at night.
Right, and as he shouldn't. He should never have that moment's peace.
That's right.
It said that on the board about Schumer. Wasn't it Schumer, I think it was saying? He'll never have another moment's peace. Yeah,
yep.
Because they're having to fight to try to save their hides. All right, so verse 13 rocks the world. What happens in that one? It says it was this earthquake. What's that?
Well, everybody's been shaken up, and everybody, the whole way of doing things is going to be completely turned upside down.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it says a tenth of part of the city fell.
Mm-hmm.
And the earthquake was, and in the earthquake was, quake was slain of men 7,000. I don't think that's an exact number. Yeah. It's about this whole cabal of evil will be killed.
Right.
There's people
who've
committed crimes against humanity and against children. They're going to be punished. This execution. This is what it's about. This is what it's about. This is not about we're playing footsie and say, no, you shouldn't have done that. Don't ever do that again.
It's a slap on the wrist.
No, not that. But this says a remnant, a small portion was affrighted and gave glory to God. So there are some who have not done this evil, and they'll repent, and they'll say, okay, we didn't realize we were a part of that. You know, there's a lot of people who are just, you know, in the system that are brainwashed. All right. So now verse 14, Tess, would you read this portion right here? 14 through 19.
Yeah. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders, which sat before God on their seats, fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken thee thy great power and hast reigned, and the nations were angry, and they were wrath is to come, and the time of the dead, and they should be judged, and that thou shalt give reward unto thy servants and prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroyed the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple an ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hell.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise.
Yeah.
So right after this earthquake that brings them down, everyone recognizes Lord Jesus is the King of the world. This is the Hallelujah chorus.
Mm-hmm.
Now the world breaks into song.
Can you imagine? I mean, you know, I think about it sometimes, and it's just, it's hard to even imagine a fire revival that just crosses the whole world. Mm-hmm. You know, not just a town or a city or a state mm-hmm. or a nation. I mean, the whole nation, the whole world mm-hmm. is on fire for the Lord.
Amen.
What an amazing time.
Amen.
That's just exciting. Well, I'm so excited thinking about that.
It really, really is. Very, very exciting. Yeah. And, you know, one of my favorite parts, it says, you know, as they all fell on their faces and worshiped the Lord, it says, because you have taken to yourself your great power and have begun to reign. I think that's what it says in the NLT. That's it. It's kind of harder to kind of understand in the Shakespearean King James version, but yeah. Taken
hard to read yourself,
I know you've taken to yourself your great power and begun to reign. All these years he's been the king. He was born king. Mm-hmm. He was born the king of the world, but he has not taken that power and assumed his role as the king, and now he will. Mm-hmm. This is what the disciples were wanting him to come in and with guns blazing and to rule, and he said it wasn't time yet, but now it is, you guys. This is what we're just about to see. Yeah. So, since the beginning of time, question 35, Christ the King of the world has not assumed his full position as king. Who was allowed to rule as the prince of the power of the air according to Ephesians 2:2?
Satan and his angels.
They were. What are the first
evil
things?
Evil minions.
Amen. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's what they've been able to do, but no longer. This is, they know their time is short. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why they're flipping out. Because their time is short. Question 36. What are the first things Christ will do when he assumes his power and begins to rule earth? Question number 18. This one right here.
He will reward his servants and he will destroy the evildoers.
Amen.
Right.
And that's what he's going to do. This is why they're flipping out. This is what
justice. Justice for the good and justice for the bad.
Amen.
Rewards for the good, amen. Justice for the bad.
Amen. Amen. Have you ever been to a baseball stadium or a football stadium and everybody does the wave? Have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen that? I got the picture of the wave because people are going to be so excited. They have been held down and now they're going to singing the hallelujah chorus. They're going to
be dancing in the streets.
They're going to be dancing.
Right. And just all the people who've been so financially oppressed, and people who've been in prison, people who've been so many things, their health. I just, just so many strikes against people, in every way.
I think about all the children have been trafficked and abused.
Yes.
Suffered.
Yes.
Just tremendous.
Yes. 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 The Lord is going to restore them.
I saw a doctor on social media yesterday talking about, or maybe it was in an interview with Tucker, I'm not sure, but he was talking about how that they could not tell truth and treat people properly during the pandemic because they had regulations on them.
Right.
And all of those things were evil. They were just evil.
Right.
Control, first of all, but then not treating folks that were sick and their Hippocratic oath and taking care of people when they should have been. This world is upside down, like Timmy was saying, but it's going to come back to the way God intends it to be. And wow, we're so excited.
Right, for 1,000 years. That's quite a reprieve. Yeah. Sorry, we lost you there for a second, Tess. You locked up.
Yeah, froze up.
Yeah, you froze up, but you're back. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just saying that, those children, because that they have just suffered so much, but God's going to heal them. And for the first time, they're going to have joy and peace and healing. And, they're going to experience what life should have been for them.
Amen. Amen. And somehow or another, he's going to make it where they won't have that sense of oppression and those horrible memories somehow.
Right.
Somehow. So just for those of you who
are little minds.
Yes. So those of you who are doing this study, if you look at the bottom, you'll see this summary right here. So if you get, when you're trying to fill in the questions and the answers, whatever, you can look right there and you can get kind of a little cheat notes. But I think that worked out pretty well. What do you think, girls?
Good job.
You went good. I think it worked out pretty well. I think it was maybe not as once. It's kind of like a magic trick. Once you see the trick, it's like, no, that was easy. It all makes sense now once you know who they are. So here's my website, freedomforce.live. And you can see on here videos of the playlist of the study guides that videos that we've been doing. You can see those on there. Plus so many others on if you want to find out a video about Joel chapter 2 or Ezekiel or Mark of the Beast or Antichrist or whatever, it's all right here. And then the audio books of the are right here of these three books about end times. And I think that's everything. I'm so glad. I think we didn't take too long. I think we did pretty well. Congratulations, girls. I'm very proud of you. And so
this was a very in-depth one, but
yes, it was. And I just didn't know what to leave out, right? So, and then get ready, because we're gonna, you know, it's gonna be more on the, you know, coming up. We're gonna be doing some more. So get ready, everybody. Let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord, that you're the King of the world. We're going to go ahead and sing the Hallelujah chorus now, that you are the King. We, and that you've assumed, you'll assume your role and begin to reign. And you are
going to
rule this world, all over this entire world. We cannot wait for you to rule this earth. We're just ready, because this is not, this is no bueno. We're so glad that these evildoers will be cast out, and that your servants will be rewarded. And we just pray for everyone who's listening. We just pray you continue to strengthen them, fulfill, help them to fulfill the assignment that you have for each one of them to do. And just guide us through, help us to help others to understand the wonderful truth about end times, and that it's the end times for them and 1,000 years of peace for us. We praise you and
thank you, Lord,
for helping us to understand all this. Thank you for breathing into us so that we could wake up and be a part of what you're doing on the earth. We praise you and thank you. In your great name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, God girls. Is. It was so fun. I loved it. I appreciate y'all helping me to get this done.
And
I love you guys. Love you, Patriots. We
love
will talk
you.
To you. Later.
Later.